The Sex Ed with Tim podcast is recorded on the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. We acknowledge that Toronto is covered by Treaty 13, signed with the Mississaugas of the Credit, and the Williams Treaty, signed with multiple Mississaugas and Chippewa bands.
You're listening to Sex Ed with Tim.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. I'm your host, Tim, certified sex educator. I'm your local chaotic homosexual. And Tyler, I have a question for you. What gets longer when pulled, fits between breasts, inserts neatly in a hole, and works best when jerked?
I mean, the only answer could be a cock, couldn't it?
Get your mind out of the gutter, friend. It's a seatbelt. Hello.
I said, whoa.
No.
That's a curveball.
It's definitely a seatbelt. You
well, we can tell where my mind is at.
Clearly. You're so yes. Dirty.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. To my lovely listeners, my now named chlamydiates, because we all got chlamydia and we're idiots. That beautiful Aussie accent that you hear on the other end of the mic is none other than the most beautiful sex worker I've ever seen so far. It's Tyler Matthews. You keep going.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm blushing.
I love to make my guests feel awkward and a little flirty.
Yeah, it's definitely not the sunburn from the from the heat. I'm quite red.
From the Aussie sun. You know, I've only ever had a handful of Australian guests on the show. And of all those guests, I believe you would be the first Australian male sex worker I've ever had.
Oh, yeah. There's not many of us.
Is there not?
So, we're few and far between male sex workers in Australia.
Wow. Well, I want to get more into that, but you know, before we get into the conversation, introduce yourself to the audience, please.
Hi, my name is Tyler. I suppose I would call myself an integrated sexual therapist, but I suppose the interesting thing, like you've already mentioned, Tim, is that I'm a full service sex worker and have been for about six years now. And I augment that full service sex work with somatic sex education, sexological body work, which is some hands-on somatic work. And I've also been trained in somatic therapies just in general for, you know, counseling and that kind of thing. So I like to call it integrated sexual therapies because I'm trying to bring all of these different modalities in together, but also offer that around the core of full service.
That's amazing. So from one sex worker to another, I thank you for your service, my compadre, comrade.
Likewise.
My shelf life as a sex worker was only 4 years, from the ages of 19 to 23. Because around 23, my life started to get really full. Something had to give. And I had like a full-time career, full-time schooling. So I just couldn't keep up with it anymore. However, I don't regret it one bit. And sometimes I wish I could go back, actually, now that I have a little more time. So I'm wondering about your journey into sex work. Like, how did you decide to become a sex worker? And what were the first steps that you were taking when you got into it?
It's an interesting little rabbit hole that I went down. I really started as a male form model doing nudes. I went through a period in my early 30s where I drank everything that I could possibly come across and ate everything that I could possibly come across.
Very healthy.
And ended up being, I ended up being very, very healthy. And I had this I suppose, come to Jesus moment where I was like, hey, you're probably not going to have a very happy life once you get into your 40s if you keep going like this. So I started working out and got really fit. And then somebody said, hey, you look really nice. Do you want to come and take some naked photos? And I went, sure. I think that was the first time that I'd been naked in front of, as a fully grown man, in front of another man that wasn't a doctor in years. And it was really interesting. So I did that, and then that sort of, I put that online, and then that sort of rabbit holed into a bunch of people asking me to start an OnlyFans because I was doing professional photography. A lot of male form photographers have large gay male audiences. So that led to me having a large gay male audience. They all wanted to see more. You know, they wanted to.
Of course we do. Come on, Tyler. Like, come on.
Yeah.
The horniest bunch.
Your Instagram nudes are fine. Yeah, but we really want to see you like jacking. Yeah, we want to see you jacking off in a, you know, in an aeroplane cubicle.
That shit is
the weirdest,
tight.
Wonderful.
Ugh. How?
So I did that for a bit, and that sort of dovetailed into doing porn. And I'm definitely more up the straight end of the spectrum than down the gay end of the spectrum. So I started to do male-female porn and lost a lot of my male audience and picked up a lot of female audience, and you know, it sort of evened itself out a bit. There was still, you know, there was still a good mix there.
Sorry, those gays are so fickle.
Some of them got really salty about it. And I was like,
please, I just love watching a pretty man fuck, regardless of what it is. I mean, that's just me, though.
Oh, look. I say sometimes that I do wish I was down the other end sometimes because I'd just be making so much more money. Yeah.
Honestly, it was a great time in my run as an escort, but nice enough to retire.
Yeah, good. Yeah, so look, I did that for a while, and I started to augment that with doing some full service sex work because I was doing OnlyFans. And then I got really disillusioned with doing porn. It was very transactional. It's very performative. It started to seep into the rest of my life. All my personal sex was performative. It was very ego driven. And I decided, so it would be 3 years ago now, to drop doing content altogether and just focus on doing full service work. And I, when I did that, I rebranded and changed my name. And it was the best thing that I could have done because the majority of my clients weren't very interested in watching me
have sex with a woman,
you know, fuck on the internet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They wanted a gentleman. And they still want a gentleman. So I'd like to think that I went through all of these stages and I matured to a point where I was like, well, you know, my shelf life as a porn performer is only a certain amount, but also what I do now is so much more wholesome.
Really
fills my cup. Yeah. But it is, right? It's more about giving somebody something that they really want and need. And yes, there's a whole bunch of people out there that think they need to watch people fucking on the internet, but they don't really need it. So
not really.
And they don't really need it. And look, at the end of the day, you know, out of the hundreds, maybe thousands of people that have watched me fuck on the internet, there's only a few that are going to remember me in 10 years, but I would hope that there is a significant amount of my clients that I see now that will definitely still remember me in 10 years. So
a little bit of history, sort of token, a talisman of your sexual journey, if you will.
Yeah.
Now, I have a lot of questions. First of all, where can I find these videos of you fucking on the internet?
They're still around. There is a Just for Fans in the bio. I don't advertise it or push it. It's just out there for people that are interested in, you know, sometimes people ask me, do you have any content? And I say, yes, it's over there if you're really keen. But you know, when I used to do, like, OnlyFans is hard work. You know, doing content is hard work. People don't sometimes understand
that you're
out there. Yeah. No, it wasn't supposed to be, but it can be. I'm actually that funny. Yeah, yes.
Comedian.
Yeah. But it is really hard work. And I was out there, another pun, plugging myself for every day for 2-3 years I was out there doing that, and so I don't do that anymore. It's there if people want to find it, and what I really want people to focus on more is what I'm doing in the sexual therapy space. It's less about titillation, I suppose, and well, it is about titillation in a way, but it's less about just titillation.
It's an entire experience when it comes to the sexological bodywork of it. Now, I have tried to get into that line of work. I couldn't, mostly because I don't feel like it's really up my alley into like this sort of new age spirituality kind of thing. And I figured that about myself through working with someone like you, actually, that like this just isn't for me. The way I like to work within this sex education sphere is to make people laugh. You know, I think laughter is the most powerful tool that we have in terms of healing. When you laugh at something, you kind of like take the power away from that traumatic thing and you kind of like stomp it. So I love to make jokes. I love to just fuck around and, you know, serve cunt and
yes,
as the gays would say. By the way, I love the fact that Australians just use cunt as an everyday vernacular. It is beautiful.
It's such, well, you could describe it, you know, it can be such a positive word and it can be such an aggressive word. Wait, you know, it'd be such a descriptive word.
How would you use it positively? I'm curious, because I use it positively as like, yes, you're serving cunt.
Yeah. Or you could say,
look at this cunt.
It's a very ochre thing, but you can go, oh, he's a great cunt. You know, now I sound like Steve Irwin. So, you know,
crikey.
You know, yeah. Well, that cunt, he's great. Yeah, yeah. But then you can say it like really frustrated. Yeah. Also, like, oh, this cunt.
Oh, I love it. Oh man, I love the Australian accent. I love all of you Australians. If you're listening, I do have actually an Australian following. I don't know if I'll ever go, mostly because I feel like everything in Australia is going to kill me. The baristas, the spiders, even your time zones. I don't understand your time zones one bit. How is there a half hour increment?
It's just a really, well, I don't know. Canada's a really big.
It is big.
Really big country, right? You know, it's like, well, there's a lot of similarities in the sheer space that you take.
That's true. We are colder. Over there is much hotter. And also just like, I don't know what's in your water, Tyler, but all the Australian men are just so sexy. It's just like, just, this is obviously me trying to flirt with you and hopefully you come over to my side, but you know, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, you know?
I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit more on the transition from escorting and porn to the coaching part. I mean, I guess you're still in a way an escort because you are a companion, but what exactly is it about the wholesomeness of sexological bodywork that drew you into it?
I found out about sexological body work through a client, actually, who introduced the whole modality to me, really. It really spoke to me because as a full service worker, there's sort of niches that you fall into. And I know some of my peers who get hired for fantasy experiences where, you know, you come in and you're basically a hard cock attached to a dick.
Yeah.
Sorry, a hard cock attached to a body.
I mean,
and
you're a dick.
Yeah,
well, I am a dick. It depends. Who's to say?
Depends how you look at it, right? And you're there for a fantasy experience. You're there to, you know, a lot of couples bookings are like that. You're basically a human sex toy. And I never got a lot of those clients. I was getting clients who were at crossroads in their lives. They were in loveless relationships. They had come out of domestic violence relationships, and they had no connection with their body. They had no connection with their sexuality, and they didn't know where to go to connect with that, to find that out about themselves. So they went to a sex worker. They went online and they must have had a look, or they must have had a look at what sexual therapies were available to them, and those therapies didn't market themselves to what they were looking for, because at the end of the day, they were looking for connecting with their sexuality, and they identified their sexuality as coupled partnered sex, and they wanted to go on a journey to get to that point, to feel comfortable with that. So I was getting these clients and just doing what felt right with them. We'd sit down and we'd talk about what they were trying to achieve. We'd try and work out what journey they wanted to go on. And I just feel into it through my experiences. You know, I was a slut in my early 30s.
You still are. Technically, you still are.
Yeah.
You don't, technically, you I don't grow out of slutdom.
No, once it's got you, it's got you forever. Yeah. So I'd learnt a lot about sex and sexuality and relating. You know, when I first found out that polyamory was a thing, I was like, oh my God, I can, you know, have multiple relationships with multiple people, and everybody's going to be okay with it as long as I'm open and honest. And I went on a big rampage of just self-discovery, right?
How many pussies can I put my dick in and nobody gets mad?
Yes. You know, and as a 33, 34 year old guy who had just come out of a long-term relationship and a marriage, I was never overly sexually confident with myself going through that process. I was like, holy shit, you know.
Which is strange because you're very attractive. In order for you, like,
I'm a late bloomer, Tim.
No, you're not. Now you're just being humble. This is me trying to rub your ego.
Yeah, thank you.
Slowly thank breaking you. Those heterosexual walls.
just eroding them one at a time.
One brick at a time.
But yeah, I went through this process of just doing this, and then I met this client and I learned about sexological body work and I was like, well, I've got this toolkit that I bring with me to every interaction that I have with all of my clients, and I built this toolkit myself because I needed to have something. If I go and I study this, then that gives me more tools in my toolkit to help people. It reinforces the knowledge that I've found naturally just through organic growth. And so I started to look into that and other courses that I could do that would complement it. And yeah, that's basically how I got into it.
Oh, that's so lovely, because I feel that. I have this almost similar experience when I decided to become a sex educator. And I talk about this on my show, and it's been on my blog. I've mentioned this many times, and I'm going to keep saying it because it is such a memorable like experience for me. And I was hired by a couple, and what their request was for me to have sex with a husband while the wife watches us. And at one point when I was like balls deep in her husband, just like, I don't know where my dick was anymore. It's just like, I can't even find it. the wife and the husband, they were looking at each other with so much intent to the point where I felt like I was intruding. And I was like, should I pull out and leave? Should I go? so that's what kind of got me interested in learning about human sexuality. Why is it that this couple had me in the room, but only the two of them were present? And I just didn't understand at the time. I was like 21. What do I know? I'm just some stupid, horny kid who just wants to make a quick buck with a quick fuck. Mm. So, yeah, it was like an interesting turn. And I'm very like delighted to hear that you have a similar story, that like it comes from a place of empathy. And I think that's kind of the root of what sex workers are. We're empathetic. We want people to feel what we're feeling, the pleasure of it. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. But also, people are also wanting the reverse. So we want people to feel, you know, confident and erotic and beautiful and all of those gooey, mushy, really sexy disgusting things that you feel when you're in your pleasure. Conversely, our clients want to feel like they're not broken for not feeling like that, that they can go, that they can have someone take their hand and go, wherever you're at the moment is fine. And we can take a walk down the yellow brick road and, you know, end up at the land of Oz.
Yeah.
I think that's really important for clients to have someone to meet them where they're at. And like you said, empathize with where they're at.
Do you have a favorite client experience?
Do I have a favorite client experience? Oh, picking one would be so hard.
I mean, it doesn't have to be one favorite. Like, just something that stood out to you.
Something it stands out to me every time that I have an experience where someone has a release. So, and it happens quite a bit.
A release isn't like a euphemism for come or
not a release as in an orgasm. No,
it's a funny sound you made.
An emotion, but an emotional release. You know, when somebody experiences somebody that's never had an orgasm with a partnered orgasm before, experiences a partnered orgasm. You know, or they have. Or you have somebody who has never felt desired before by their partner, and they feel this lust and desire in the middle of this session. And sometimes it's a look in their eye. Sometimes it's really a somatic, like releasing, just relaxing that they do. And sometimes people cry because it's such an intense moment for them. And those are really the moments that I sit back and go, yes, you know, that this is why I do what I do.
I'm so fucking good.
Yeah. I'm
damn good at fucking.
For those just aha moments. Yeah. Those, you know, but sometimes it doesn't even need to be fucking, you know, sometimes it can just be holding someone, you know, holding someone's hand, touching them in a way that
you mean to tell me that you've made someone come just by holding their hand What?
I've made some, you know, I've made people get teary by, you know, just by the act of them feeling cared for.
That's true.
And that's there is a huge problem out there there's so many people in the world that just don't feel cared for, that don't feel desired, that don't feel loved, that don't feel like anybody listens to them or pays attention to them. And that's a real problem. And those people tend to suffer in silence. They will take that, they'll stuff it down a hole, and they'll be like, it's okay, you know, I'm getting my fulfillment from other places. I'm getting it from doing jigsaw puzzles or, you know,
jigsaw puzzles.
My stamp collection. Stamps. I know, it's random.
Also, we're using a lot of hole analogies here. It sounds like a lot of holes. Rabbit hole.
I thought you'd like.
Hole. I love a hole. I do love a hole.
Yeah, dude, I'll try and keep it going for as long as I can.
Glory or otherwise.
But yes. So yeah, so there's this problem, and when you're able to provide that to someone just for a little minute, and just see how appreciative they are of that, they're my favorite experiences.
They are truly like what makes you want to keep doing this. I did have an experience where my client had a prostate removal because of prostate cancer, and he was afraid that he would never be able to have an orgasm again until we like did this whole sort of like examining your body. Where do you like to be touched the most, and what is this fear that you're holding on to? All this to say, I made him come like the goddamn geyser.
Yes.
Now, this is where I was starting to be a little more cautious about how I would go about sex work. Because after that experience where the guy had finally came after months of not having an orgasm, he did feel a little attached to me. And it was difficult for me because I, again, very young, I think maybe at this point I was 22 or like 23, approaching the end of my run. He was starting to get more invested into my personal life, where he would ask me questions and started to take me out on dates. And like, he wanted to look at apartments together. So, yeah, I know. And it, again, at a very early 20-something kid, I'm not really sure how to vocalize my boundaries that way. And I was just very confused. So I ended up just blocking him. I'm sorry. I didn't know what to do.
Well, you're just not emotionally equipped to deal with that.
Exactly. You know,
it's particularly at that age, I wouldn't have been for sure.
Exactly. So that brings me to my next question. How are you emotionally equipped to handle such serious moments with your clients?
I have this, well, I suppose, analogy that I use where I take the situation and allow the clients to feel the situation, and I feel those situations with my clients, but I also try not to take it on. So I envisage it like a backpack. You know, that moment, that emotion, it's really raw and hot at the time when it's let out, and I deal with it in the moment with the person, trying to help them process it and move it through their body and actually really understand what it means. Because a lot of times we feel things and we have no idea what's going on. And you've got to really ask somebody what is that feeling that you're feeling? Like, you're feeling sad, but then there's so many different iterations of sad. So where is that coming from? And allowing them to really label it and verbalize it, because we, a lot of the time also we think in abstract things, you know, I'm feeling blah. And you never ever verbalize what blah is. Mm-hmm. It's just some random thought in your head until someone makes you actually
say what
put blah words is, around yeah. it. Yeah. And then you go, oh shit, blah's really real. And I've got a, now I've actually said what blah is and I know what it is. I can do something with it, right? Like I can process it or deal with the problem that has been causing this blah. Yeah. So I help them go through that. And then I take that experience and I sort of put it in my backpack and I carry it around for a little while and let the heat come out of it. And then every now and again, I go through this self-care process where it's very similar to what I do with my clients. And I sit down and I unpack my backpack and I'm like, okay, you know, what are the things that I need to deal with here? What can I move on? What kind of self-care do I need to move this energy out and away? And also it allows me time to really think about some of that stuff that clients have told me and maybe I process it in a different way and can come back to the next session with them with a different perspective and go, hey, you know that blah that you were thinking about, you know, maybe at the time it wasn't about what we thought it was about. You know, is there something else there? You know, have you thought about, you know, have you thought about this that you told me about or that? And so it's a process that I go through. And I'm fairly good now after going through the process for so long of compartmentalizing these interactions and dealing with them in their own right. But like you say, there's always going to be people. We're dealing with, you know, with
emotions,
the human emotions. There's always going to be people who get too attached because you are going into a really vulnerable place with them and you're helping them. You know, this is one of the things that I've got to be really careful with in blending modalities, because I see people sometimes just as just for sexological bodywork, and you've got to be really clear at the start that if we go down a sexological bodywork path only, then I can't go and see you as a full service sex worker after that, because I'm essentially taking you down this somatic sexology path, but you may form a bond with me. And because I offer full service sex work, that bond may only be there because you've gone through the somatic sexology. So at the start, while you may not have consented to being in a full service relationship, that consent might change because of my interactions with you as a sexological body worker. And then that client's not in their authentic consent, but they've got a pathway, if I allow it, to go and explore that relationship deeper. So we've got to be really careful when mixing modalities about how we deal with boundaries in those situations.
I agree. So like as sex workers, I feel like we're the best at compartmentalizing because we are able to keep everything within this sort of container. And then we're also able to like come out of that and just remember that, yeah, no, that was work. I've kept that memory, those experiences within that hour that I was hired. And that was great, but time to move on. However, some clients still kind of latch onto it. And, you know, who can blame them? We're so good at what we do. We're fuck machines. And, you know, from one good looking gentleman to another, I don't blame them. You know, we're hot. So, I can understand where they're coming from, but also it's also like our job to kind of guide them to say, no, this was that, and that's all that's going to be. And I'm happy to keep it there. So when you're saying blending modalities, I am curious as to how you are able to navigate something like that. Because when you say blending modalities, I think, oh, okay, he's going to go into sexological bodywork, but also raunchy, kinky, fuck sex and rope bondage BDSM together.
Well, see, it's all it can all be intertwined, right? Mm-hmm. It can be. I think I suppose the most important thing up front is to have the conversation with the person and try and figure out what they want. And like I said before, if that person is just wanting sexological body work, being really clear with them that once they go down that road, that's the road that they're on. But if they hire you as a full service sex worker and want to explore these other modalities, then that's fine. I call that erotic expansion. I don't necessarily call that sexological body work, right? But it uses all of the tools in the toolkit from sexological body work and the other things that I've learned along the way. But in blending the service, you might have a client. So if you use an example of a client that finds it really difficult to orgasm when they're with a partner, so they might not have a problem when they're by themselves, but when they're with a partner, they're in their head. They can't relax enough to allow themselves to get to the point of orgasm. Yeah. Or they might start to feel that orgasm and go, fuck, I can feel that orgasm. Come on, come on, come on. And the orgasm just goes, bye.
Yeah. Just out of reach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like Rose and Jack, the Titanic, just out of reach.
He's come just back. Slipping away down into the murky abyss.
No, come back. Just dry.
There was definitely enough room on that door for both of them.
Oh no, the long debate of human history. There was space for both of them.
What I would do is go, okay, so let's employ the tools from the toolkit of sexological bodywork in finding more orgasmicity, utilizing the somatic, all of the somatic tools that we have, touch, sound, movement, placement of awareness, and bringing those somatic tools into that full service experience. You might say, okay, so you get really anxious when, or you're getting really anxious or nervous when you reach that point where you start to feel like you're going to orgasm and there's stress there. So let's, one, instead of focusing on the orgasm, let's focus on our breath. Let's focus on sound. Let's start making some noises and focusing on our breath and then forgetting the orgasm. The orgasm's not what we're here for. We're just here to have fun, to feel pleasure. We don't need to be anywhere. There is no destination in this, right? And so you bring all of that stuff into the experience. You might do exercises before you're actually having penetrative sex to bring someone into their body more and then go into the penetrative sex. A lot of, body work, there's parts of tantra in there and sacred sexuality, so you can bring those into your sexual experience as well and put the client in sort of this place where they're most receptive to working on whatever that issue is, their orgasmicity issue, or, it could be shame or inability to focus or being anxious, all of those different things. Yeah.
Have you ever fucked a client while walking them through that toolkit? Like you're penetrating them and then you're like, all right, breathe.
Yeah. Very much. But particularly in tantric experiences, reminding people to breathe is, you've got to do it constantly, and you get to a point where you're just doing it with them, So instead of reminding them to breathe, I'm like,
Tyler, you can't do that to me.
and then that triggers them to start to go, oh shit, I've got to breathe too.
Oh my God. The listeners can't see this, but I was like thrown back. Drooling. Oh boy. You have a cigarette? Oh my God. Is it hot in here or is it just Australia?
It's like 4 degrees over there.
It's 34 over there. Oh my God. But that is interesting because I have done that maybe like once where I was having sex with the guy and I can tell he's anxious because he was really tightening up around my cock. And I almost had to like walk him through the sort of awareness of his body. Like, hey, you're really tight. I would really like you to relax right now. Breathe. And then he finally like opened up and boom came the fireworks. So I always am unable to like describe the sort of strangeness yet the familiarity of that experience, because it is not a normal thing to help to talk someone through sex while you're doing it, right?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because it's like we've got, well, I mean, I'm not very good at it, but
yes, you are. But stop
some
it.
People,
stop it.
But some people love talking dirty. You know, it's like, oh yes, fuck me like that. Oh yes, that feels so good, right? There are people out there that are okay with being talked through sex and talking through sex, but as soon as you make it like therapeutic, it's like, oh, that's a bit weird.
Let's talk about how your father walked out on you, and while I'm anal deep. Oh my God. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Come on, Jesus moment, rather.
Yes.
We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Yes.
What's up, all you sick fucking perverts? Don't you just love love? The Love Shop has everything you need to feel the love in the air or in between your legs, wherever you want, really. They've got everything from vibrators, lubes, lingerie, and even full-sized sex dolls. Well, I guess love really does come in all shapes and sizes. Visit loveshop.ca/sexedwithtim and use code sexedwithtim at checkout for 15% off the whole store. And the best part is that they ship all over Canada, US, and what? Ireland? To all my whores in Dublin, top of the morning to ya. That's loveshop.ca/sexedwithtim and checkout code sexedwithtim for 15% off the entire store. Now get to fucking. Do you like feeling sexy and looking sexy? Of course you do. Only my listeners are sexy as fuck. I have partnered with fetishwear designer Dale Kuda to bring you the hottest deals on custom jockstraps, harnesses, hats, and more. Head over to dalekuda.com, that's dalekuda.com, and use code SEXEDWITHTIM at checkout for 25% off the entire store. Yeah, you heard me, 25% off, and cherry on top, free shipping. Oh my God. I have a few of the stuff that he has made for me, and girl, I'm wearing it right now. I'm wearing like a little jock strap so that I could easily just like slip a little butt plug or dildo every now and then here and there, and I'm on the train. I'm just like, thank you, Dale. That's dalekuda.com with the code SEXEDWITHTIM for 25% off your entire purchase with free shipping. With a deal like that, I swear I could come buckets, honey.
The show is about to begin.
Yes.
I would like to know, what exactly is the Tyler Matthews experience? So if you could humor me a little bit, like I'm a client coming to you and let's see, I'm going to get into character. Let's use my drag name. My drag name is Ava Gina. So
Ava Gina. Yeah. Love it.
Ava. So Ava's coming.
I love Ava Gina.
Really? Surprise, surprise. So Miss Gina comes into your office and says, hey Tyler, I'm having trouble in bed and I don't know what to do. Can you help me? What's your first like intake?
My first question is usually, what are you here for? Are you here, you're having trouble in bed? Are you here because I'm a full service sex worker, or are you here because I'm a sexological body worker? Are you having trouble in bed with your partner? And if so, it's a completely different question set that I'd go down asking Ava as opposed to if they were looking for full service. So my question would be, you're having trouble in bed. Well, what are you having trouble in bed with? Are you having trouble in bed by yourself, or are you having trouble with partnered sex? Do you have a partner?
Okay, so Ava's single. She's ready to mingle. She's taking on the world and just graduated university, and the world is her oyster. Yeah.
Get it, girl.
Right, thank you. So pretty and like an ingenue. And I guess, okay, just continuing on with the role play. I'm coming to you because you're a full service sex worker and I'm not getting what I need. I can't, like, you know, I can't be bothered to find a guy. And yeah, I just want to get fucked right now.
You want to get fucked. So the first thing that I do is reassure Ava, because I see a lot of clients who are just over the dating game.
Mm.
They are just they've had a fuck ton of bad experiences on Tinder. They go out with men and there's almost this social contract of, I'm going to take you out and feed you. You're going to suck my dick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I paid for your dinner. Now you owe me sex. It's like,
yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And it's I don't know if it's the same over there, but definitely in Australia, that's there. There's a culture of
Tyler,
that.
Toxic masculinity exists all throughout the world. So yeah,
there is no Narnia. No, Tim.
Oh my God, I know. In the beautiful fuck? White winter wonderland that is Canada, you would think that you'd have a Mr. Tumnus or something. No.
But so I'd reassure and make sure that Ava understood that there's definitely nothing wrong with the decision that she had made to come and talk to me. Because I think that a lot of people find it really difficult, that first step to approach a sex worker. There's a lot of stigma around doing it, particularly if you're a vulva-owning human. There's a whole raft of issues that come up with shame and self-worth. And so my first interaction is always going to be reassuring and making sure that they're okay with that decision. And then it's going down the road of the Tyler Matthews experience is finding out what Ava likes, finding out what Ava wants. Does she really just want to be fucked? Right.
Mm.
Or is she looking for something else?
Yeah.
Is she looking for to feel desired? Is she looking for somebody to want her? Is she looking for companionship? You know, is she looking for something that's, you know, is she just looking for physical touch? Yeah, and those are things that are all important, because while we might end up fucking somewhere along the line and it might be real raw and hot and passionate, that might not be the core reason why that person is coming to see me. So the experience really is working out through a series of questions and talking to that person about what they're really wanting to get out of the situation, what they're really wanting to get out of the interaction. And then the experience is tailored to that. If you are really looking for connection, then we're going to spend more time talking, and I'm going to spend more time offering parts of myself to you in exchange for parts of yourself, so that you feel safe exchanging parts of yourself to me. That breeds connection. Yeah. And we're going to spend a lot of time doing that, making you feel safe and giving you that connection. And then we're going to have really amazing sex because we've got that connection that you wanted. Yeah. If it's physical touch, then we might do a, you know, we might do an erotic massage to start off with, because then that gives you like all of this physical touch that you're craving that you
full
don't get
sensation.
To receive in your person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And then we might have, and then we might have really great sex because you've got that physical touch part and it's really got you in the zone. So that's the way I sort of craft the offering, is finding out what the core need is. Sometimes the core need is just sex, you know? Sometimes people just need to get fucked. But in my experience, that's probably 20%, and 80% of what we do is
emotionally tied.
Is there something else there that we're looking for, particularly with vulva owning humans? You know, I can't talk for, you know, I used to, when I first started out doing, when I was a baby hoe, didn't offer full service. Well, I didn't offer full service.
A tiny little slut with a purse.
Yeah, just a little heels. Just a little baby. Yeah. I didn't offer full service, and I've never offered full service to penis owning humans, but I used to offer massage, rub and tugs, and I did that for about 6 months, and I realized to myself how different the male sexual
being is, yeah.
Psyche mm-hmm. is, yeah. It's a lot different because I think, I don't know, at least in my experience, it might be flipped the other way around, you know, and there's more penis owning people out there that just want to fuck. But
I can tell you right now, Tyler, we are like, at least in my experience, I can tell you that they are very horny. However, when it comes to getting into the moment, that's when they start to shrivel up and kind of get back and retreat into their shell. So they want it. However, they don't know how to get to it.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why.
I suppose it's a conditioning thing, right?
Mm-hmm. So when I had those kinds of clients who claimed that they had erectile dysfunction, which I am very cautious to, like, quote unquote, diagnose. I'm not a medical professional. However, at least from what I've seen, these people who think that they have erectile dysfunction, it's usually just a psychological thing. It's like you're losing your erection because you're nervous or you're putting too much pressure on the orgasm. So, you know, I'll say something like, how about you tell yourself, don't come. When you feel that orgasm coming up there, tell yourself, don't come, don't come, don't come. And it becomes like a reverse psychology thing rather than, oh my God, I need to come, I need to. And then you kind of like, you know, lose yourself in it. And yeah, those were like some of the clients that I dealt with, and well, not dealt with. This sounds so mean, but that I worked with rather. So I'm wondering, have you worked with a client that you just feel was not a match? So, for example, like, I don't know, they were on a different plane of the political spectrum, or you just felt like you couldn't meet their needs, or they didn't have the body parts that you're attracted to.
There's been a couple. I like to think that I'm pretty universally relatable after 40,
like a real
almost
slut.
41. Yeah. 41 years on the planet's given me a skill set that I'm like, 41? Okay, well,
I'm sorry. Yeah. Time out. 41.
Yeah.
What is your skincare routine, my guy? What? Wow.
I'm doing all right.
No, you're doing
I'm
well.
I'm doing all right.
Good job. Okay. Wow. It's the water.
It's
the Australian water.
It's just the Australian sun. Yeah. Yeah. So it's very rare that I come across someone that I can't click with or find a way to relate to them. But there have been a few. I don't like being treated like a piece of meat.
No one does.
And
without consent.
Yeah.
Unless there's consent.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure there's people
eat
out there.
Eat me,
that-
daddy. My pussy is smoother than a veal cutlet. Eat me.
Tasty.
Jesus. Oh my God. Tasty. You didn't have to use that, but okay.
I was just thinking about a veal cutlet, but sorry for any of the vegans in the audience.
Fresh from the butcher.
God.
Smooth.
We are down another rabbit hole. Yeah.
Another hole.
Another hole. But yeah, there have been a couple of people. Some I've known straight away. I've walked into the room, and it's never about political views. It's never about societal views, really. I can put up with a bit. It's about someone being a cunt, you know. It's
and
about
the bad
and,
cunt.
In the bad way. Yeah, it's about somebody being disrespectful. Those types of people, I can't fuck. I just there's something about my dick that just goes, nah, sorry, there's actually no amount of money that you could pay me. And that's happened a couple of times, and I've refunded and excused myself in the situation.
I have to.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you look, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it for my own.
What do you think that is for you
self-worth.
Personally? What, like, for your personal experience, what do you think that is that makes you, ugh, this isn't working?
Oh, that's a really good question. That is a really good question. Safety?
You don't feel safe with them.
Well, it's about for a penis owner to get an erection, your nervous system needs to be calm. And if I'm in a situation where there's the slightest hint of I might not be safe here, or this person, you know, I can't trust what this person is, you know, I can't trust that this person is who they say they are, or that they have my best interests at heart, then my nervous system fires up and it goes, okay, cool. I need to be aware of where the door is. I need to be aware of all of their micro expressions. I need to make sure that there's, you know, that they're not doing anything or making any erratic movements. So my nervous system's going boom, 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 boom. All of that processing power is being used for these self-preservation activities. You know, they're not being used for get dick hard.
Like, you know, a caveman.
penetrate stuff.
Horny. Yeah.
Get dick hard. Penetrate stuff. Feel
pleasure.
Now. Yeah. It just doesn't work. Yeah. So, you know, in the same way as, you know, some men have difficulties when they're with partners that they may feel completely safe with, but they're nervous, they're trying to impress that person, they're nervous about being judged if it doesn't go properly or if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't work out. They're using that part of their mind is all engaged in worrying about all of that stuff. You know, like you were talking about earlier with, you know, take orgasm off the table. Don't think about orgasm. Don't think about that. Just feel pleasure.
It's a reverse.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're using all of this processing power, and therefore your body doesn't go, okay, let's do the thing. You know, it's not just a situation where we can whack some lube
and just go
on ourselves and go and just go for it. No, you can't. Yeah, you can't fake that.
Even with Viagra, you need to be psychologically there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people tell me that all the time. They're like, "Oh yeah, but you could just use Viagra." It's like, if you're not in the mood, or your brain is telling you that this isn't going to happen, you can take five of those bad boys and it's just going to give you a headache.
Or priapism, depending on where you are in the day.
Yeah.
Then you can continue to skewer me like a Brazilian kebab, you know. In that case, sure, go take five of those bad boys. Now, on the flip side, what would then make you feel good, and what do you think is
what makes a good sexual partner?
Also a great question. I think that being empathetic is really important in any sexual interaction, being able to put yourself in the other person's shoes, understanding that the roles of the penetrator and the penetratee,
fucker, fucky,
are very, very different. Fucker or fucky, yeah, are very, very different psychological states, and being able to put yourself in that position is really important. People that are kind and care about the other person's enjoyment and pleasure as much as they care about their own. It's, you know, sex is supposed to be a dance, and sometimes it's fine to just be receiving, and sometimes it's fine to just be giving, but it should be a co-created dance that you make with each other. It's not just, and I suppose that's why I've never identified with being a human sex toy, right? Because the idea of just coming in and fucking somebody and then leaving again just doesn't sit right with me. Sex in all forms should be a co-created beautiful experience where you're both in your pleasure, because if I'm in my pleasure, then you're going to have a better experience. And if you're in your pleasure, I'm going to have a better experience.
Wow. Guess what, people? Treating each other like people, like human beings, gets you further in life?
Fuck,
what?
It might just catch on.
What? It might. Oh, man. Let's start a trend, Tyler. Let's start treating each other decently instead of treating them like a toy that can get hard on demand. That was one of the things I hated, where it's like, I am not something that you can just switch on and then I'm hard automatically. If you wanted that, I could have just given Absolutely. You a dildo. But no, I'm a person. I need some things to work.
You know? I have been pinned up against a wall as soon as I walked through a door before, and it's a very off. Yeah, it's Whoa. A very off-putting experience. You're like, okay, yeah, shit, she must can have I have been... a conversation with you first? consent and stuff like that.
Yeah, wow. She must have been, like, thirsty from that Australian heat. My God. Well, you are irresistible, Tyler, and I can't get enough of you. I'm pretty sure the listeners can't get enough of you. So before we wrap up, and I never wrap anything up, do you have any sort of like words of wisdom to send to my listeners?
Yeah, chlamydians.
Chlamydians,
idiots. Right. Yes, yes. Chlamydians is like, sounds like some kind of Martian colony.
We're here to burn your penis.
So third penis is never a fun time. I mean, like I was saying before, one of the most important things about sex and sexuality is connecting with the person that you're having sex with, who could even be yourself. And I think that one of the things that we discount a lot in our own sexuality is the relationship that we have with ourselves, the internal dialogue that we have with ourselves. And one of the things that I teach people is, if you want to be a better lover, then you need to be a better lover to yourself first. Ooh. And then you can be a better lover with somebody else. So, So communicate not only with the people that you're fucking, but, you know, communicate with yourself and ask yourself what you need. And just fucking touch yourself. Feels good.
Which reminds me, I actually have to go masturbate after this. So I'm going to go into your Just for Fans and then I'm going to masturbate to that. So,
all right. That's lovely. That makes me so happy, Tim.
I'm always here to make any guy happy, right? Just visibly happy. Well, Tyler, thank you so much for coming on the show and just for your wisdom and your work within sex work. And I'm pretty sure it's very appreciated by all of the Australian women down under. If you could please make like a butt and plug away anything you want the audience to find, where they can find you on the internet.
Well, you can find me on my website, which is tylermatthews.com.au. And you can also find me on Instagram. And my Instagram is tylermatthews_au. I'm fairly certain. No, it's not. It's Tyler Matthews Brisbane.
Don't even
I'm
know
good with social media. Yeah.
Yeah, considering someone that answers Q&As all day long on their Instagram stories, you're...
I should probably know my... Yeah,
your
I
own
should
handle?
Probably know my... My Twitter handle is tylermatthews_au. You can find me on there. There's way more pictures of my dick on Twitter. So...
Well, thank you so much, Tyler, for the lovely conversation. And to all of you listeners that have made it this far into this chaotic-ass conversation, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. Do not forget to rate, review, and subscribe, because you are supporting gay content, queer content, sex education content. And if you don't support it, then you are definitely a homophobe. I do not make the rules. That's just how it is. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Sex Ed with Tim podcast, and I will see you all at the next episode. Bye. Thanks for listening to the Sex Ed with Tim podcast. Sex Ed with Tim is created and produced by me, Tim Lagman. Music is Aces High by Kevin MacLeod. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at GaySlutClown and at SexEdWithTim. You can also like and follow me on the Sex Ed with Tim Facebook page. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for all your support, you dirty little slut. Mwah!